Hi, welcome to What They Want You to Think, a conspiracy theory podcast with your host, Ben James. And today we have a very special co-host, Rob Love. You may know him from the Pup Dates episodes of Sex, Drugs, and Spirituality. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you doing?
Good, that's what's up. I'm doing well.
Awesome.
So today we have a pretty heavy topic. We're doing 9/11 conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's a lot to draw from.
Yeah. So I was 2 years old, I believe, when 9/11 happened. So I don't have a personal experience on it. Could you tell us a little bit about your personal experience to it?
Yeah, let's see. I must have been 20. How old was I? 26, 27, almost 27. 28, something like that. And so I was, you know, a grown up. I was working a normal job. And of course, this was pre-internet for the most part.
Yeah.
So I just woke up that morning and went about my normal routine. It wasn't until I was driving to work and listened to the radio in my truck that, you know, I found out what had happened. So it was pretty surreal. I continued on with my day, and I wasn't listening to the radio a lot during the day. I don't think my work truck had a radio or something like that. Anyway, so I wasn't really getting a whole lot of news about it. It wasn't until like after I got home from work and see like all the video compiled on the news that, you know, it struck me like, you know, what it actually, you know, the scope of what had actually happened. But it was pretty weird. And then, of course, you know, in the weeks and months following that, it was a real kind of like weird time to be alive in America, kind of. You know, everything was sort of, everyone sort of had a somberness to them, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so it was, and then, oh, God, like, everybody had an American flag up after that. Like, by November of 2001, there must have been a flag on every car and every doorstep. I mean, people were just, like, they must have sold out of flags because it was just crazy, like, the amount of, like, patriotism or whatever at that time was, I've never seen anything like that before. It was pretty nuts.
Yeah, I bet so. And this was at the beginning of Bush's first term, correct?
Yeah. Clinton had just gotten out of office. Yeah, so 2000 would have been when Bush, or actually like January of 2001, right? Would have been when Bush started his first term. It happened real close to the beginning. And before, people don't remember this, but like, people made fun of Bush a lot pre-9/11, but then after 9/11 happened, it was like, oh, you can't make fun of the president, you can't make fun of the president, this not during this time or whatever. It kind of like elevated his status in a way that, you know, just because he happened to be on watch when it happened or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was kind of like a clown before that.
Yeah,
then he got some semblance of respectability after 9/11, I guess, you know, and then it all fell apart, of course, after, like, I don't know, once the whole WMD thing with those years later, but like all respect kind of like went out the window for him after a while. But for a while there, he was kind of like king shit of Fuck Mountain, really.
Yeah, I could do a whole season on the Bushes.
Yeah, for sure.
But Bush ran on an education reform platform, right? He didn't run as a wartime president.
Oh, no. He definitely wasn't like a war hawk or anything. There was no indication that, you know, there was going to be any war. You know, Clinton had some of the best times, you know, America's best prosperity years were under Clinton. There was the Balkan Wars, under Clinton, but that was about it. Like, we weren't,
okay.
I don't think we were bombing anybody back then. Yeah. So, but yeah, so where do you want to start with the 9/11 conspiracy theories?
Well, I definitely want to go over a little bit of the true facts, because growing up post 9/11, I didn't really know anything about it. Like, I knew about it, but I didn't understand the severity until I listened to the last podcast on the left episode about it. Like 3,000 people died in like 3 blocks of New York. Like,
right.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, people diving out of burning buildings because they'd rather, you know, they'd rather die from a sudden fall than burning alive, which I can't blame them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. I listened to that podcast as well. That was kind of a crazy one.
Yeah. So, we can start off on the facts. Like, I'm sorry. I'm really high, and I've had a really rough day. But, let's go. So, the main facts of 9/11, it was 7 terrorists, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, in the plane itself, because there were different planes, I think there were 19 hijackers total.
Okay. And there were 3 planes, right? There was one that flew in around 8:30, and then another one that hit the second building at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. And, and then there was actually 2 other planes besides that. There was the one that went down over the Midwest somewhere. That's the one, like Flight 17, I think, the one where the passengers supposedly like took the plane back over, like killed the hijackers, but they knew that in doing so they were going to crash the plane and they were all going to die. But they, I think, at that point had heard news reports about the Twin Towers being crashed into, and so they kind of realized that their plane that they were on was going to be used as a missile. So they're like, well, let's just not let it hit its target then. You know, that's the story that we've been told, at least, about that. But then there was supposed to be a 4th plane that hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that one.
Yeah.
And I believe there's a conspiracy behind Flight 17 that it was shot down by an executive order from Dick Cheney.
For sure, yeah. That's the way I tend to go with it. I don't think that the passengers were necessarily heroes in that one, but I definitely believe that they ordered that thing shot down.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Building 7 incident?
Well, Building 7 is the only skyscraper that's ever fallen without being hit by a plane.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah. So that's fishy as hell right there. Also, when you consider the offices that were located inside Building 7, it was a lot of accounting offices, I believe. Same with with the Pentagon. The part that got hit was like accounting offices and whatnot. And people don't remember this, but Donald Rumsfeld, who, you know, was on the hunt for Obama for, you know, for all those many years before 9/11, he was, you know, he was still had the same job, but he went up on September 10th of 2001 in front of Congress and talked about how they were missing $23 trillion or something like that, and that couldn't be accounted for. And then the following day, all of these accounting offices where those records were kept all of a sudden get hit with planes and stuff. So it seems a little weird to me.
You said $23 trillion?
I believe that's what he said was missing from the, basically, the, you know, the government accounting office or whatever.
I can't even fathom that amount of money.
Yeah, I believe I have that number right. I know it was in the trillions, though. That's crazy. And then conveniently the next day, all of the records were destroyed on where that money might have gone. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember in my research seeing a video of Building 7, which is unsettling to begin with to watch. But at the rate that the building fell, and it, like, fell perfectly down, like it wasn't toppled or anything, it looks like a bomb was set off. And
yeah, it looks,
I believe...
It looks like,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say, it looked just like a controlled demolition is what it looked like.
Yeah, I believe the official story is that a fire was started and it caused the foundation to crumble. But there's eyewitness testimonies of workers and passerby saying that they heard a bomb go off.
Okay,
so
yeah, I believe this.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
There's also theories that for weeks ahead of time, guys dressed up like construction, you know, kind of like construction workers were going in and using like plasma torches to like cut all of these like the main beams that hold up the building at like just at the right angle, just like you would do for a demolition. They cut it like at a 45 degree angle, but they didn't cut all the way through or something like that. And then they had like, you know, whatever explosive charges that would kind of finish that job, sort of, that would blow out the rest of that beam. So, you know, when the ear witnesses heard that bomb go off, it was probably those explosive charges detonating.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
I mean, I believe that they set off a demolition because the U.S. government is known to do shady things to cover up their own mistakes. Like, that's nothing.
For sure. For sure.
It's also not hard to believe that they would put hundreds of American lives at risk to cover up mistakes, because they've also done that before.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, there are other previous examples. I believe it was Operation Northwoods was one where they were going to, I think they were going to shoot down a plane and blame it on... Was it Cuba? I don't have all the facts with that one, but I believe that, you know, and that was just sort of a false flag event. It's been done in the past. False flags have been around for a long time, but it's just a way to get the American public angry at the person you want to invade. You know what I mean?
And I believe that's the, like, most widely held conspiracy that most people believe behind 9/11. Was that Dick Cheney and George W. Bush caused 9/11 to happen in order to invade Iraq and Iran for their oil.
Yeah. I mean, I totally believe it. And then what gets even more devious is, like, you know, Dick Cheney, he was like the head of Halliburton before he became vice president. And so guess who wins the no-bid government contracts to go rebuild Iraq after we bombed the shit out of it? Halliburton.
Of course,
so they're
Halliburton.
They ended up making billions and billions of dollars off of the rebuilding. So they were.
Did you see that they paid him like $13 million to quit to run for vice president?
Oh, Halliburton paid him to quit? Oh, I totally believe that.
Yeah, it's so fucking shady.
Super shady. Now, what about, have you heard of Building 6?
I have not.
Okay, Building 6 was prepped like Building 7 was for demolition, except it didn't, like, the charges didn't go off or something. So they had intended to destroy Building 6 or Tower 6, but it didn't work. So after the fact, they went in and they found, like, the cut marks in the beams and stuff like that, like from plasma torches, the whole works. It's just that they weren't successful in demolishing that building. So,
and no investigations were launched after finding that?
I don't believe so. I'm not sure, dude. I'm not an expert. I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories, and I have like a marginal understanding of a lot of the ones surrounding 9/11, but I haven't actually read anything.
No, you're good. I mean, my podcast is not known to have all the facts, and I feel like we're never gonna have a oh shit, what's the word? A professional on who's an expert in the subject.
I don't think
It's
there is an expert. I mean, because the only experts in this are conspiracy theorists for the
yeah.
most part. Like
Yeah.
anyone in a position of authority is going to dismiss, these theories as nonsense and like, oh, so many people would have had to been working together on it, and somebody would have spoken by now.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. I just
Yeah,
don't know.
I did send a DM to George W. Bush asking him to come on, but I didn't hear any
Well,
responses, so I feel like that's a lost cause.
here's another theory I heard too, is that there were a bunch of people involved with the conspiracy, and all those guys that went in with the plasma torches and setting those like explosive devices and whatnot. They all had a little celebration after 9/11 where they were all basically invited into a big hall and then murdered.
No.
So that's how you
Oh
keep
shit,
people
I just got chills.
that's how you keep people from wagging their lips.
Yeah, I heard
Just like
another theory that there were a lot of people involved that were put on the plane and they were lied to and say that they told them that it was a different plane that was gonna go down, but it wasn't, and that's how they covered up a lot of the people involved.
Oh, that's a good one too. Yeah,
Yeah, and that would also make sense.
For sure. And if somebody up, if a group, a cabal of people are willing to kill 3,000 people, why not a couple hundred more, even if they're your
Yeah.
friends?
Yeah, it's so dark and it's so troubling to even consider like the president doing something that evil. But
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that's the reality we live in.
I don't even know if George Bush knew all of this stuff. I don't know if he was behind it. I think it was more Cheney and
Yeah.
like whatever his reptilian overlords,
Yeah, I
Like
mean,
I think it was.
Cheney definitely is pure evil.
Oh, absolutely. The guy doesn't even have a pulse.
No, he's
He's
had
got
like
that.
seven hearts.
I know he's got like a mechanical heart. He's got like a mechanical heart, I think. Does he have a real human heart now?
I
I don't
believe
know.
he's had like four heart transplants.
Yeah.
Like,
Whenever he
there's
needs a new
people,
one,
yeah, there's
he gets
good people dying that aren't going to get a heart because Dick Cheney has like he's on his seventh one.
Yeah, he gets pushed to the front of the line every time you can't stop eating sausage or whatever it is. I don't know
Yeah.
why he needs so many hearts. Jesus.
I saw this theory on Reddit that Dick Cheney like has these slaves working in his home, and that whenever he gets ill, he just kills one of them and takes their organs.
I could totally see that. That's like,
Yeah.
yeah, more evil than Monty Burns, even.
Yeah. Who is Monty Burns?
Oh, he's from The Simpsons. He's the guy that owns the nuclear power plant on The Simpsons, Montgomery
Oh, okay.
Burns. He's
Yeah.
just sort of the embodiment of like sinister,
Oh, The Simpsons. I need to watch that show.
It's a good show. It's a good
Yeah,
show.
I've never seen an episode of The Simpsons or Family Guy.
All right. Well, it was nice talking to you, Ben. No, those are both good shows. Simpsons is by far, I think, the superior one. And
Yeah.
it's just, it's, I don't know. It's just great, the things that they've done
Yeah.
on that show.
I grew up in like the Bob's Burgers era, so that's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched that.
Oh,
But
that show
I don't
is
know.
so funny.
So, let's see, what else? So you mentioned the two planes hitting it's like the North Tower and the South Tower or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the third plane to crash would have been what? Was that the Pentagon?
I think the third one was the field, and the fourth one
Okay.
was the Pentagon.
And then the Pentagon got hit. Now that's fishy. What's fishy to me about the Pentagon is there have to be so many security cameras located around the campus of the Pentagon, and zero footage of a plane hitting it.
Yeah, I heard that Dick Cheney sent out an order to turn them off. And, like, that's on the record. That's not even a conspiracy.
Well, that's as fishy as sending, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's guards home 3 hours early or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's super fishy. The one video I have seen floating around, it's probably really hard to find, but it was from a neighboring building. It wasn't the Pentagon footage. It was, like, from a neighboring building's camera. That catches the impact, but, you know, it's a little bit grainy, so it's not the highest quality footage or anything, but it's very clear that it's not an airplane that hits the Pentagon, because if it was a jet airliner like they're talking about, you would see the wings, you'd see a tail, you'd see markings on it. It literally looks like a cruise missile.
And I believe Pentagon plane disintegrated, correct?
That's what they say, because they've never actually produced any wreckage of an airplane from the Pentagon. So, I mean, you saw there's footage of the Flight 17 that went down in the field. There's wreckage strewn all over the place.
Yeah.
They haven't released any photos showing any sort of airplane wreckage at the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. And I was doing research and watching the videos of the planes hitting the towers, and I watched them frame by frame, and it looks so shady. Like, I think that it was a missile, personally.
That's what I've heard that theory before, but I've never really gone frame by frame. I have heard people say that. I've also heard people say that the airplanes, if they, you know, they see them as airplanes hitting the Twin Towers, that they don't have, like, commercial airline markings on them. You know, it doesn't say United or whatever on there. They were just sort of like, basically like drone planes. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know. I mean, you could fly a drone plane full of explosives into a building pretty easily. Mm-hmm. That technology has been around for a long time. So,
But we also have to account for the people that were on the plane, like the citizens.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know either, unless they're crisis actors, you know?
Yeah. Oh, crisis actors. How do you feel about them?
What's that?
Do you believe in crisis actors?
Well, I've seen some photos of people who were at, you know, each of three, say, like, Sandy Hook, Parkland, whatever, photos of people, like, bystanders or people who are, you know, supposedly, you know, caught in the melee. And, like, you think, I've seen where they've, like, singled in on one female's face, and it's, like, the same female in all three photos. It's, like, really, was the same person at all three of these mass shooting events? Like, how does that work?
It seems fishy to me.
So, I don't know. I'm not going to take a hard stance on crisis actors, either way. But I feel like there probably have been crisis actors for something like that. I'm not saying that every mass shooting is a hoax or whatever. But it's the L.A. one. Las Vegas, that one is super fishy to me. Like, I don't buy that.
I mean, every mass shooting is a tragedy, and there is a huge gun problem in America, but the Las Vegas shooting, I believe that was set up by the government.
I do too. Yeah, I do
the
too.
Fact
I think
that, like, the elevator cameras were turned off, and apparently he, like, checked into multiple hotel rooms, and there's video of him walking up without any guns. Like, it's so shady.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that, you know, he might have made successive trips with the guns, but that one video you see of just him sort of, like, empty-handed might not be the only time he went for, you know, entered his room. So I could see that. However, And the first eyewitness reports reported that there were multiple, I don't know, you can't always take people's eyewitness reports for, you know, for gospel truth. But in a lot of these mass shootings, you know, people report seeing three or four men dressed in all military black doing the shooting. And then later, like this is the case with the San Bernardino thing, some of the first eyewitnesses reported seeing like four men wearing, you know, black military garb firing, you know, these weapons, and they were the ones doing the shooting. But then as the time goes by, all of the media outlets start to adopt like the chosen story. Oh, it was these like Muslims that were, you know, disgruntled and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they always managed to pick a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think they could be patsies. I mean, they could be like, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald style patsies in that case.
Oh, it's so crazy that you brought up that. I was just about to say Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
Finale for this season is actually about the JFK assassination.
Nice. I saw your tweet with your episode list. So yeah, that's awesome.
Oh yeah, I got so many I have to record.
Well,
yeah, I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah, that's gonna be that's gonna be a tough one.
Yeah. Okay, so there's one thing about Building 7 I wanted to touch on.
Yeah.
It was a BBC, I guess, news report. Have you seen that one with the woman?
No.
Okay, she's, like, talking to the camera, and she has Building 7 behind her. And she's like, as you can see, Building 7 just went down, but it was still up. And then you hear a whisper behind the camera, and, like, her face turns white, and she has this look like she's about to be killed. And then the camera just shuts off.
Dude.
Yeah.
See?
And I'm sitting in a Planet Fitness parking lot right now. So I'm like, ooh, is the government coming up behind me? Like, what is going on?
So, okay, what else? What other conspiracy theories are there with 9/11, the hijackers themselves, right?
Yeah.
They were all Saudi. I believe they were all Saudi. There might have been a couple other nationalities thrown in there, but they were essentially financed by the Saudi government. They were sent over to train how to fly planes. They went to commercial, you know, pilot courses or whatever, like in Florida. And reported
they were, like, super shit in class, right?
I've heard that, a lot of them didn't show up for certain things that were necessary, like learning how to, you know, they always like to say, oh, and they didn't even learn how to land the plane. Like, they just didn't come to those classes or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, they wouldn't really need to learn how to land a plane.
That's true. But then, you know, so supposedly the Saudi government or whomever, you know, financed this group of hijackers to come over, live here for a while, do all this stuff, learn how to fly the planes, and then crash them into the targets. But I've heard some people dispute that even a well-trained pilot would be able to pull off what the two Twin Towers planes did. Like, to come from out of 35,000 feet or whatever, and then, like, level off at whatever it is, like 1,000 feet or something, mm-hmm. and hit it smack dab like that, that there are a lot of people that say, no way some guy who hasn't even graduated from flight school is going to be able to do that. That was... Yeah. That's what kind of lends credence to the fact that they might have been drones. You know what I mean? Like remote-controlled jobbies. So, again, the hijackers could have been patsies in this case. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what's really weird is that as soon as 9/11 happened, all commercial airline, all flights were canceled. There was no flying. The skies were oddly quiet for the next week or two until they started allowing planes to fly. But guess who was allowed to fly was Osama bin Laden's, like, one of his relatives. One of the bin Ladens was in Washington, D.C., I want to say. They had just had dinner with George Bush Sr. the night before 9/11.
What?
And he's a big CIA guy. He's a big, you should do a Bush episode one day. But so they apparently, like, the bin Laden family had dinner with George Bush Sr. the night before 9/11. And then after 9/11 happened, the one plane that was allowed to fly was a flight out of America back to Saudi Arabia with the bin Ladens on it. That's crazy.
I do remember in eighth grade. I was in eighth grade. What year was that? 2010? When Osama bin Laden was killed by Barack Obama.
Which, right.
It's crazy that both Ronald Reagan and Obama went after bin Laden, but that's another theory. I remember
Ronald Reagan? Wait.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan went after bin Laden? Back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Right, okay, there's, right,
There's this great song by Killer Mike called Reagan. Have you heard it?
No.
It's so good. I love Killer Mike. He's from my hometown, Atlanta. But about, like, Reagan's reign and the war on drugs and all that. But he says, Killer Mike says, don't you think it's fucking weird that Reagan and Obama went after Gaddafi and bin Laden?
Yeah. That is kind of weird, I guess.
But back to eighth grade, my teacher was saying that it was like poetic justice because whenever planes go down, they yell out May Day. And when bin Laden was killed, he was killed on May 1st, which is May Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's some conspiracy theories about Osama bin Laden's death as well, like that he maybe wasn't even alive that whole time, that he had died years before that they said they killed him.
And bin Laden never admitted to being behind 9/11, correct?
I want to say he did.
Because there was a video of him saying it, but it was like shaky and it looked like it was cut together and it was translated. And I remember the translator saying she was having a very rough time translating it and that it wasn't like fully factual.
I could see that. Those videos that that he would send out were like shaky as hell. And deep fake. The ability to deep fake a video like that probably wasn't around as well back then, but I'm sure that they could have done some deep fakery on some of those poor quality videos.
Well, I know that the U.S. government is years and years more advanced than us because they have the technology to fake the moon landing, like years before we have the technology to do that.
Yeah, there's definitely that to be said, that they withhold technology from us, but they're 30 years, a lot of people say they're 30 years ahead of where we are now. So I can see that. But I also am not super sure that, I think the hijackers and Osama bin Laden could have been Pakistanis in this whole situation. Like, they could have been remote-controlled drone planes carrying explosives. No hijackers necessary, but you got to put a face. You got to have a bad guy to blame it on. So they went with they went with the hijackers. The thing about when they did kill Osama bin Laden, the way that they disposed of the body immediately. Seems a little fishy.
They dumped him in the ocean, right?
They dumped it in the ocean. They say it so that they couldn't, so that people wouldn't have like a shrine for Osama bin Laden. They wouldn't have like a shrine to his martyrdom that they could go visit and venerate him or whatever, you know. Also,
he was of the Islamic faith, correct?
Yeah, and in Islam, the dead are supposed to be buried within 24 hours of dying.
Okay.
So there is that argument made that, oh, well, they did it so quick so that they wouldn't upset, you know, other Muslims or whatever. But I don't know, man. I don't know. There's so many openings for, like, fuckery with that. Like, maybe he wasn't, you know, he could have been dead for years, and that they just, like, I don't know.
Like, or he could still be alive.
He could still be alive. Either. Yeah, but he
could have never existed. Like, we really don't know.
Yeah, I think he did exist. Mm-hmm. But, and there's also, like, the, speaking of Reagan, didn't Reagan, like, arm, like, Osama bin Laden back in the 80s to help fight the Russians in Afghanistan? I think the U.S. was arming. Yeah, they were arming. Yeah. Like, they created the Taliban, basically, to, you know, basically thwart Russia back in the 80s in Afghanistan.
Because when you look at footage of the Vietnam War, and then you look at footage of the Iraqi War, is that the correct term for it?
Gulf War.
Okay, the Taliban soldiers, their weapons are the same weapons that the U.S. used in Vietnam.
Yeah, for sure, because they were all given to them back in the 80s, you know, to help fight the Russians. So, yeah, that makes sense.
And there was that whole cocaine trafficking thing with Reagan from South America.
Yeah, that was the Iran-Contra thing. Well, there was the cocaine trap. I think it's all kind of connected. They were trading guns to the Contras in, where was that? South America somewhere. I can't remember if it, yeah, but anyway, it was called the Iran-Contra affair, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
And I'm a little fuzzy on the details, but basically they were trying to destabilize, like, Central and South America by funneling in guns to these guerrilla organizations that were trying to fight the, you know, the mainstream governments in their countries. And they were, I think it was basically a trade. They'd trade them cocaine for guns. And then they would take the cocaine back up to the U.S. and a lot of it through MENA, Arkansas, when good old Bill Clinton was the governor. And then they would, the CIA, this is, we're getting out there, but this is the CIA was flying in the drugs. They were distributing it to people like Freeway Rick Ross, like the actual guy, not the rapper, but the actual, like, former drug dealer who spent, like, a bunch of time in prison. There's a good Joe Rogan with Freeway Rick Ross, like the original Rick Ross, not the rapper dude. But so
I'm not familiar
getting...
with the original one, but I do know the new one, the Rick Ross.
Okay, well, he named himself after the original one, who was getting drugs. He was getting cocaine back in the 80s from, I forget where he said he got it, but it was basically from the CIA. He was just getting tons of cocaine, and he was moving it as fast as he could, and he was making like $1 million a day or something like that. But the whole idea, and that's when crack was basically invented or whatever. So the CIA, what people say is, pardon me, the CIA was trying to destabilize these urban communities by bringing in all these drugs and trying to, like, wreck people's homes, send the fathers to prison, so that the children grow up without, with, you know, no income, basically, like poor, without a father. And so those kids are going to grow up and, you know, basically just the cycle is going to continue. It's going to be destabilized. To what end? So that they can take their, I don't know. It's the prison industrial complex, really, is what that came down to, is they wanted to fill up the prisons and make a lot of, you know, these for-profit prisons a lot of money. you know what I mean?
That was Reagan who legalized for-profit prisons, correct?
Who legalized what now?
Reagan legalized for-profit prisons.
I think so. He did a lot of fucked up stuff. He, like, basically closed down all the mental institutions and said, well, you know, the crazy people will just have to take care of themselves. And that's why there's such a homeless problem today, is because a lot of the fund, you know, so much funding was cut for mental health in this country by Reagan that, you know, now it's become, you know, crazy people have to be dealt with by the courts and go to jail instead of going to hospitals like they should. You know what I mean? So, Reagan definitely... He paved the road for some terrible socioeconomic policies for sure. He's not a good guy.
And then Bill Clinton pushed it even further with his three strike laws and his mandatory sentencing.
Right. He made it so, ironically, he was the governor who was letting so much of the CIA cocaine get. We're not even talking about 9/11.
No. It's fine. It can go wherever.
So he was governor of Arkansas while all this CIA cocaine was coming in. But then at the same time, he made that three strikes law and made it so that crack, like a gram of crack, was a felony versus a gram of powdered cocaine, like white business people might sniff, was like it was like a misdemeanor or something. You know, it was like the penalties were not commensurate at all. So, he actively, destabilized, families in urban areas and then sent them to, you know, prison for felonies and whatnot. It was pretty diabolical.
And his wife was calling black men predators or super predators, correct?
Oh, she's a piece of work, man. She's like a sail in the wind. She just figures out which way the wind's blowing and, you know, whatever. But she's not your grandma. She's not a nice old lady. People forget that also, when Bill Clinton was the president, he and his wife introduced the Defense of Marriage Act, which effectively banned gay marriage in the United States. It wasn't until 2013 that Hillary Clinton actually came out and said she was in favor of gay marriage.
Yeah. So she's not always supporting it. Oh, my boy Bernie. I love him.
Yeah, for sure. He's the guy. but yeah, people think that she's like some sort of, progressive liberal. She's really not. She's a war hawk. If she had been elected president, we would have already invaded Syria. We'd probably be bombing Iran right now. I mean, things would have gotten a whole lot worse on the world stage if she had been elected president. I have to say that.
Yeah. To be fair, I did vote for her. But I also hate her, and she is a fucking bitch. Like, I've already taken the stand that this podcast hates the Clintons.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Like, the Clintons are enemies of this podcast.
nice. Well, I lived in Washington State, and I knew there was no doubt that Washington State's electoral votes were going to go for Hillary. So I was able to vote my conscience and vote for a third-party candidate. So I voted Libertarian, knowing that I wasn't wasting my vote because, you know, I mean, if it was like, oh my gosh, we're not sure if Washington's going to go for Trump or Hillary, I definitely would have voted for Hillary, but I didn't like either of them. So I voted
Go ahead.
Oh, I voted for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah. I was living in Georgia at the time, so So there was no doubt that it was going to go to Donald Trump either way. So I kind of was in the same position.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, huh. Wow.
Yeah. Well, like, fuck Georgia. Atlanta's the only good thing out of Georgia.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's like a whole separate state.
Right. Yeah, kind of like Austin in Texas. It's like its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah. So, well, we got the hijackers, we got all the supposed planes that crashed, the buildings. I mean, the aftermath, of course, was, we might as well, like, go in a chronological if we're going to finish it out. Because I was alive at the time, I was following, you know, I was following the events pretty closely. And it wasn't until, like, what? I'm not sure when Bush Jr. decided to invade Iraq. But, I mean, the fact that they somehow tied Saddam Hussein into being responsible for 9/11 is just outlandish. Like, even at the time, I was like, what? What are you talking about? And, you know, they said, oh, we have very good intelligence that Saddam supplied the terrorists with funding or whatever, and that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, in his arsenals or whatever. And so this was all basically the way they turned public sentiment into getting behind invading Iraq. And, I mean, I wasn't for it at the time. In fact, we'll go back to the original Iraq war, which was back in, like, what, 90, 91, when George Bush Sr., this was after Saddam invaded Kuwait, neighboring country Kuwait, oil-rich neighboring country Kuwait. Saddam marched some troops in there and said, oh, this is ours. This has always been historically ours, like this rich oil field, kind of, that was within Kuwait's borders. So Saddam was like, no, that's actually ours, so we're going to take it back. And that's when the U.S. just launched. It was the original Gulf War, but it didn't last very long. It was a lot of just missiles being shot at Iraqi troops, and they just, like, basically just withered. they were notoriously they were surrendering at an incredible rate. You know, like, just,
well, they didn't stand a chance.
They did not stand a chance. Yeah. So the troops, like, the Iraqi people left Kuwait. You know, they went back home. They set a bunch of oil fields on fire before they left, just to be jerks, be like, oh, if we can't have it, neither can you. But they were repelled, and they went back to Iraq, and George Bush Sr. then called it off and said, okay, you know, we did our job. We repelled the Iraqi threat from the poor Kuwaitis, so we're going to call it off. And that was the end of the original Gulf War, essentially. Like, it didn't last that long. I actually was a junior in high school when, in the days leading up to that, and one day, like, all the whole high school, I think all the high schools in the area, and also the Evergreen State College, which was nearby, walked out of class and marched to the Capitol building to protest invading Iraq. Mm-hmm. No blood for oil was the big motto, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I walked out of high school that day with a bunch of other students and occupied the Washington State Capitol building in Olympia, Washington, and stayed there, like, into the night. I think some people spent the entire night there. But we basically just, like, took it over in protest, saying, we're not down with this. You know, I don't want to go to Iraq and die for oil. Let's not do this. And in large part to that sort of demonstration, I think maybe, the powers that be decided not to push it. You know what I mean? Yeah. not the case when George Bush Jr. was in office, because, you know, there was a lot of anti-war demonstration too, but, you know, freedom ain't free. You know what I mean? It was like a lot of that patriotism that if you don't, you know, love it or leave it, you know, freedom ain't free,
like,
and all that
stuff. The song was on repeat.
What's that?
I said it's like the U.S. was playing a Toby Keith song on repeat.
Well, didn't Toby Keith come out with some dumb song after 9/11, like These Colors Don't Run, or some dumb thing. Anyway,
I remember being young and going to, like, a Toby Keith concert and, like, hearing a different version of the song he performed than what I heard on the radio.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
I think there's
a racial slur in the original version.
That's what I was going to say. I bet in his live performances, he just threw that out there with the band.
Yeah.
You fucking town heads.
Yeah, in the song, he's like, a punch came from the back. But in the original version, he's like, some SN word came from Iraq.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he ever recorded that or if he just said it at the concert, but, I mean, fuck Toby Keith.
Yeah, I bet you get a lot of hoots of praise for that when he did it in concert.
Yeah, I mean, I was like 4 or 5 when I went. My parents weren't me. But, I mean, I grew up in the deep, deep South.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like, cornfield country. And peanut field.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Around here we have, like, historical monuments dedicated to Confederate soldiers. And, like, when you want to take your family on a nice vacation, you go to the plantations. Like, it's
crazy. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Very strange. So, back to, like the aftermath of 9/11. In the years following, you know, the case was made that, Saddam Hussein's to blame for all of this. Despite the, you know, a lack of any sort of evidence, you know, nobody could produce any evidence that that was true.
He identified that the day after, correct?
He what?
He identified it, Saddam Hussein, the day after 9/11. George Bush did.
Oh, that he blamed Saddam the day after?
Mm-hmm. I know that they had identified the hijackers the day after. I don't know if they did Saddam Hussein as well.
I don't know that it was the next day, and which, if that's true, that just speaks to the cabal of reptilians that were saying, okay, we're going to use this false flag to invade Iraq. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that was definitely, like, the program all along, but to have it come out the next day like that would be, I don't know. I don't know that they knew right away that it was, I mean, they might have, like I said, it might have been the reptilian overlord saying, hey, George Bush, say it was Saddam, you know what I mean? But I don't
the
think
amount
they,
of people that were in his ear that day, it's crazy to even think about.
Yeah. It was definitely a tragedy. But I think that the aftermath has been way worse than the death toll from that the day it happened. You know what I mean? Like Operation Shield or whatever, the second Gulf War, when George Bush Jr. went in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it basically killed 1 million Iraqi civilians.
Yeah. The amount of innocent lives lost because of George W. Bush far, far outweighs the lives lost on 9/11, whoever was
killed. Well, I've heard that he and Dick Cheney are both considered international war criminals, and that if they ever left the country, if they went to Germany, say, a German police officer could walk up and handcuff them and say, "You're under arrest for war crimes, suspicion of war crimes. You're wanted for war crimes," which they are.
Yeah, they are war criminals. They're terrible, terrible people.
For sure. But I mean, they're like legitimate wanted war criminals. Like I said, if they ever left the country, any officer of any country, you know, any police force in any other country could arrest them for international war crimes and be completely within his jurisdiction.
I was not aware of that. That's crazy. Yeah,
it is crazy.
Man.
But so anyway, so now we're still in freaking Iraq. What is it now? Not 18 years later. We're still in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And this, nobody can say this is about 9/11 at this point. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
That ship set sail in 2003.
Yeah. Oh, I got in a whole lot of trouble in seventh grade because we were learning about 9/11, and I told my teacher this joke, and she like sent me directly to the principal's office. I asked her what's the difference between a cow and 9/11, and I said that the U.S. government can't milk a cow for 17 years. I mean, I was in seventh grade, but I got in a whole lot of trouble for that.
That is funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So, I don't know. We're still suffering the effects of 9/11 so many years later. And I don't know. I'm surprised at how many people don't think that 9/11 was an inside job. I really am. But I don't know, man.
Is it widely accepted that it's not an inside job?
Oh, it's, yeah, that's the official, most people don't think that it was an inside job. But that's what surprises me. I think there would be maybe like 30% would think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably closer to, you know, 5 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'd like to see a figure on that.
Mm-hmm. I guess I just surround myself with people that, like, don't agree with the government and, like, don't believe the lies. So I'm not aware of, like, the wide known knowledge, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same people that watch, you know, the nightly news on television and get their information that way, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Fuck the nightly news. And fuck CNN.
Yeah, for sure.
And Fox News.
I mean, for sure. Yeah.
Did you know that 9/11 was the second highest rated CNN programmed ever?
9/11, like your coverage of it that day?
Yeah, that was the second most watched program on CNN ever.
What was the first?
Columbine. When they had the students walking out of the building.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back when Columbine happened, you know, I mean, it was only, what, 10 years previous, but CNN probably had a way bigger share of the market than it did in 2001. I'm just guessing, just based on how many cable channels started popping up, you know, now there's like 500 channels or whatever.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, in 90, whatever, when Columbine happened, I was in 93.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were still basically just... I mean, it was like Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Fox was a new channel. It was like, oh, the sports network appeared. You know what I mean? It was basically NBC, CBS, ABC and Fox were the four main networks. And then if you did have cable, then you got like CNN was the main. That was basically the cable news. It's called Cable News Network, right? CNN?
Oh, you're talking about, like, Channel 10 Fox, not Fox News?
Yeah, Fox News came later. Fox,
Channel
10, like, the main, the one that shows Family Guy and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
They only appeared, Simpsons was one of their first, like, flagship series. They started off with, like, I think they started off with, like, Married with Children, and, like, then the Tracy Ullman show came on, and it only lasted, like, a season or two. But part of the Tracy Ullman show were these little animated segments called The Simpsons. And they were just, like, little 2-minute, maybe even less than that, little animated shorts. But that, they gained so much popularity. The Tracy Ullman show went off the air, but The Simpsons got their own show out of it.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's fun to watch some of the old Tracy Ullman ones because the animation is, like, it's so terrible. It's just so bad. The characters
it's
don't
like
even
watching
look like
old South Park.
Yeah, except even worse because, like, the characters didn't even think, they didn't even look the same. Like, their looks kind of, like, evolved over time to what we know them as now. But at the time, like, yeah, like, their faces were shaped different and stuff. It's just really weird. It's kind of like, it's a little surreal to go back and watch it.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, CNN was, like, was the cable news network. So they, I could see them. And then, plus, they because they were cable, they didn't have to, like, break commercials as much. So they were probably the first, like, 24-hour news outlet where when something called, like, Columbine happened, people were just glued to the screen. You know, it was probably the same for, like, the O.J. car chase.
Yeah.
Although that, you know, I don't know, that was covered by all news outlets
that was
as well.
The Bronco chase, correct?
The white Ford Bronco with, Al Cowling, I think, was his friend who was driving the car, and O.J. was threatened to get a, you know, reported to have a handgun. He was threatened to shoot himself, all this stuff. And that was, like, one of the first blitz, like, media events ever that I can remember, where no matter where you were, like, every TV station went to this breaking news of this car chase, and it had people captivated.
Yeah.
You can imagine, it's like, what? O.J. Simpson? But, I mean, that case had been going on for months beforehand, so people already, you know, had kind of made up their minds. But when that, like, activity, when that car chase happened, it was just, like, the culmination of months' worth of suspense. Everybody was riveted.
Yeah, it's crazy how he had so much cash and a gun and a fake mustache in that Bronco. And still was,
acquitted. he was gonna hop a plane, and this was pre 9/11. So back then, you could actually just walk up to the airport ticket window and with cash and say, "I would like a plane ticket to here, please." And they would say, "Okay, here you go." You didn't need a passport necessarily, even. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Things were pretty loose back then. So that's another thing after 9/11 is TSA, airport security. I've only flown a couple of times since then, and I only flew a couple of times before then, but I can tell you that things were way looser before 9/11, like way looser.
I assume it's similar to the security at the train station, because I take the train a lot, and it's very lenient there.
It was like that. It was like that. I don't even know if there were metal detectors. There might have been metal detectors, but I mean, damn. This is a story for another time, but when I was like, how old was I? I was like 15, 14 to 15. My family went on vacation to Hawaii, and we're going to stay there for a couple of weeks. But like me and my older brother got kind of bored of just like hanging out on this island, you know, there's not a whole lot to do. So after about a week, we went home, and before we left, my brother scored like a quarter pound of like good Hawaiian bud, and like he didn't want to take it himself because he looked like a big hairy hippie, kind of like I do now. So he duct taped it to his little brother's like thighs.
Yeah, fucking savage.
I flew back from Hawaii with a quarter pound of weed like taped to the inside of my thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got, like, getting on the plane was no problem. There was, like I said, there's basically no security. There's nobody patting you down or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when we landed at LAX, I think it was LAX referring to, we're waiting around, like, the baggage carousel, and some sort of airport security guy with a dog, like a Doberman, not a Doberman Shepherd, a German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the kind, like a drug sniffing dog, maybe?
Yeah.
Walked right past me. And I swear to God, I was shitting bricks. I was like, this is it. This is it.
Oh,
I'm going to get attacked in the groin by a dog. And then I'm going to get sent to juvie. All this shit. But, you know,
yeah.
I think it might have been a bomb sniffing dog because he just walked right past me with no incident. Like, I don't know if the dog has to be told to sniff for the smell or if it just walks by and smells it and sends out the alert. I don't know how that works. But I feel like I got away with one that day.
Yeah, you were out here doing the Lord's work.
I was. I was.
I love some Hawaiian weed. That's where Pineapple Express is from, right?
What's that now?
Pineapple Express.
The movie or?
No, the strain.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I've ever had Pineapple Express before, to be honest. But, I mean, weed is legal here, and you can go to the recreational dispensary, and the list of strains that they have, is, you know, I mean, it's, you can't, you could never smoke them all. There's so many. The one I'm into right now is Wedding Cake. That's kind of been my go-to for the past, you know, few months or so, maybe a year. Sometimes they're out of it, and I'll get gelato is a good one.
Oh, I love some gelato.
Yeah, gelato's great. Gelato's great.
Yeah. But I'm big on indica dominance.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, they were out of Wedding Cake this last time. I was just there a couple days ago, but they had ice cream cake. So I'm trying out the ice cream cake. It's okay. I think Wedding Cake is probably better.
Yeah. But. And I meant to say the character Ben James is a big fan of gelato.
Oh, right. This is an entertainment podcast. None of the, it could be that this is all made up. We might just be telling stories in character. We're really good at improv. And this is an entertainment podcast.
Yeah, I'm in Georgia right now, where there is mandatory sentencing for cannabis. So.
I just read this on Twitter this afternoon that in Texas they've ordered like all police agencies, including their state patrol or whatever, to refrain as much as possible from making. Marijuana arrests for misdemeanor amounts, and a misdemeanor amount is a quarter pound or less, which is, I think, is a lot.
Yeah, that's a fuck ton of weed.
So if they find you, as long as you're, I think it was with a stipulation that if you're in your home county, like if you're in a county other than the one you live in, I think that all goes out the window. But if you're stopped in your own county with less than 4 ounces of weed, they just cite you and release you. Whereas it used to be a mandatory, it's a felony, punishable by like 10,000 fine and up to 2 years in prison.
Yeah.
So I guess they're making good headway. And that's Texas, by the way, not necessarily known for their, permissiveness or whatever.
Yeah. And our man of the hour, George W. Bush, home state.
Home state. Well, actually, home state, but he was born in Massachusetts.
Okay, but he grew up and went to college there, right?
I think so. Enough to get that accent. But,
yeah, that's where he had his whiskey and cocaine vendors.
Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Oh, that fucking guy. I can't believe that he's just a lovable grandpa who paints now. When he's responsible for so many deaths of innocent people.
I was cracked out the other day, and I had to go into work for a meeting because I'm the manager at work, so I have to do like emergency meetings sometimes. And I had finished the meeting, and I was talking to my employees about like conspiracy theories, And one of my coworkers was like, "You know why he kept reading the book to those kids?" And I was like, "Why?" And she was like, "Because he knew exactly what was going to happen, but he didn't know what was going to happen at the end of the book. So he had to finish
Nah.
the
Shit.
book."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we did 9/11. Is there anything else that you can think of that's
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it. There was one more thing I wanted to add. It was Dick Cheney. I believe he was in the Capitol building on that day, correct?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm not sure either. But I know there was something that George W. Bush had passed where, for some reason, Dick Cheney was operating president on September 11th. And
Oh
there
yeah,
was,
that rings a bell.
yeah, and there was like this worker that kept coming to Cheney and being like, "They're 70 miles away," and like, "They're 50 miles away." And then when it got to like 25 miles away, the man said, "Does the order still stand?" And Dick Cheney was like, "Of course it fucking still stands. Like, did you hear anything else?" And then, like,
Yeah.
2 minutes later, the Pentagon was struck.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of goes to my theory that Bush didn't really have as much to do with it as Cheney. I think Cheney really was the mastermind, or at least taking really direct orders from his reptilian overlords, for
Yeah, of
sure.
course. Yeah. Do you believe in
Yeah.
the
You know, I'm
reptilians?
reserving judgment, but you know, I've heard some arguments. I've heard some convincing arguments that there are reptilians, and you know what? Like,
Yeah.
there's, I don't know if we touched on it on Sydney's podcast, a little bit about the Anunnaki.
Okay, I'll have
And
to go back and listen to that one.
there's, well, we sort of touched on it in a pup date, but we were really referring back to the Jay-Z Knight episode where she, you know, she's got a Lemurian. She channels the 35,000-year-old spirit of a Lemurian warrior.
Wait,
But
Sydney did this?
that was an episode I was on where I talked about Jay-Z Knight or Ramtha. So yeah, go back and listen to Sex, Drugs, and Spirituality. I don't know what that, I don't think the episodes are numbered, but it's called Jay-Z Knight.
Okay.
And we get into some stuff, but the Anunnaki we get into a little bit more in the moon, or I do, but I would like to, you should, I don't know, I would like to learn more about the Anunnaki because I think they are sort of the, what people call the reptilians, I believe.
Okay.
So they're the ones
Okay.
that feed off of negative energy. They're the ones creating strife in the world because they somehow feed off of that negative energy. And if you listen to my moon episode,
Yeah.
then that their little base on the moon is where they store that energy somehow.
On the dark side.
What's that?
On the dark side of the moon is where they store that.
Well, inside the hollow moon, yeah. The entrance
Oh,
is
okay.
on the entrance is on the dark side though, where we can't see it.
Oh, okay.
But
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll have to look
they're
into
in.
that.
Oh, it's a good one. That's probably my favorite one that I've done with Sydney, the moon one.
Yeah. I cleaned out my car yesterday, or the character Ben James cleaned out his car yesterday, and I found a bag of shrooms. So maybe tomorrow, because I don't have to work Thursday, I'm going to smoke the shrooms and then listen to that podcast and then listen to the
Oh.
dark side of the moon.
Wait a minute. Does the character Ben James smoke shrooms?
Yeah, I roll them up in my blunt.
Oh God. That's I
What?
tried that once. It was disgusting. I couldn't deal. I
What, the
just couldn't
taste?
deal. Yeah, it was disgusting.
Oh, I don't mind it, but I also drink kratom with no sugar or anything, just kratom and
Yeah.
water, and that's a bad
Yeah.
bitter taste.
Whew.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well,
Yeah.
well, enjoy that. That is a nice, it's a nice find. Although when I read your tweet when you said that,
yeah,
and immediately what I thought was like, dude, if you got pulled over and your car got searched, you'd be like, yeah, go ahead. There's nothing in there. And then they'd be like, what's this, boy? You know what I mean?
I mean, so, I did have other substances in the car at the time. So I would have been freaking if they searched it anyway.
Just rolling dirty like that. I don't know, man. That's too gangster for me.
And I also have a taillight busted out. Not trying to jinx it, but I haven't gotten pulled over in like 2 years.
All right. Well, just be careful. Jesus.
Yeah.
We want to keep those. Yeah. We want those podcasts to keep coming. We don't need you locked up for an extended period.
Yeah, I really just want to move to Denver where they have legal shrooms and legal pot and all that.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of people feel that way. Hence, you know, like rents in Denver have gone up drastically. Real estate prices, the whole thing. It's kind of experiencing a boom just because of that stuff. But
yeah,
whatever.
I'm considering buying a van and living out of.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Well, $8,000 or so, and then you got your, you know, you could probably do it with about $8,000. So start selling those mugs. Sell those mugs.
Yeah, everyone go buy a mug, buy a t-shirt. Yeah. I'm actually going to send you a shirt, too, if you DM me your mailing address.
Oh, shit. You don't have to do that, but I'd totally take it. Damn.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Right on, then. Well,
yeah.
I think that does it for 9/11.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it. Yeah. Is there anything you want to shout out?
Aside from Sex, Drugs, and Spirituality, the podcast with Sydney DeLorean, no, I think I'm good. Wait, hang on. I would like to shout out El Yucatico Habanero Hot Sauce.
Okay.
The Incan kind. The Kutbil, what is it? Kutbil Ikte. Yeah. The Mayan recipe. So go check it out. El Yucatico Habanero Hot Sauce. With the Mayan recipe. That's the stuff.
I'll have to grab that. I did recently develop a hemorrhoid, but as soon as that gets cleared up, I'll pick up some hot sauce.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Yeah. Make sure you drop your Twitter, because it is the best thing ever.
Wait, what's that?
Your Twitter handle. Make sure you drop it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, right. At Rob Loves Beard. So Rob Loves my name, and Rob Loves Beard is the account.
Yeah.
And, I've been on Twitter. I just had my 10-year Twitter anniversary, and I pretty much run Twitter. Like, it's kind of my app. But, you know, I let my friends play on there, too. But, anyway.
Yeah. And our Twitter parties are dope as hell.
That was pretty fun. I can't remember how many corporate entities we were able to get into, like, that last tweet. I think we had, like, 8.
Yeah. And one of them I actively work for. I'm not going to blow up which one, but...
Oh, that is funny. Oh, okay. I could probably guess.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's great. All right, I would like to shout out my store and my Twitter and my plug Reggie for supplying me with these killer dabs for getting me through this episode.
Nice.
Yeah, because these dabs are dope as fuck. Like.
Nice.
All right.
This was a great episode. Do your sign-off. Do your official sign-off if you have one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so maybe 9/11 wasn't an inside job. Maybe it was just an attack on the U.S. soil. And George W. Bush and Dick Cheney are amazing American heroes. Or at least that's what they want you to think.
That's what they want you to think. Nice.